Friends, this book is ridiculous. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean this book is literally ridiculous. We talked just a minute ago about genre. We talked about the once upon a time of it all. What we didn't talk about is that the book of Jonah is also a comedy. It is a satire. It is a farce. If this book were a movie, it would be directed by the Coen brothers. It would be made by the Marx brothers. It might be something out of Monty Python. Make no mistake, this is a book intended to be funny. And so the book of Jonah takes all of the conventions of your standard prophet story, and it flips them on their heads. And it does so by turning our traditional protagonist, the prophet Jonah, into an anti-hero. Jonah is flat out unlikable. He's a bad prophet. And the story mines Jonah's depravity for humor. This first chapter focuses on Jonah's call story. And biblical call stories, again, as a genre, follow a familiar script and set of conventions. God speaks, the prophet protests, God reassures, the prophet relents, and then off the prophet goes, staff in hand, word of God on their lips. And in that protest beat, which happens just about every time, the prophet Moses says to God, I don't speak so good. That same moment, Isaiah says, God, my lips are unclean. Meanwhile, Jonah does not even bother with the script. Instead, he just takes off in a sprint and runs. There's no prayerful pause. There's no polite objection. There's just a Looney Tunes dust cloud where the prophet used to be. God says, get up and go east. So Jonah gets up and buys a ticket west. It's like God told Jonah to preach in Anchorage, and he instead is off vacationing in Miami somewhere. He is a bad prophet. So Jonah gets on this boat, and God blows a great wind to stop him. The storm rages over the sea. All of the sailors who do not believe in Jonah's God, they begin crying out to gods of their own. Meanwhile, Jonah, the prophet, decides this would be a great time to take a nap. Again, he is a bad prophet. He gets woken up and Jonah lets slip that he is fleeing from God. And then in a moment of what I like to call incidental evangelism, Jonah accidentally converts the entire ship. The terrified crew members suddenly believe in God, and so they cry out to God. They make promises to God. They offer sacrifices. They worship God. They throw Jonah overboard. They keep on praying. Jonah is a bad prophet, and yet God uses him anyway. You would think a prophet would know better than to try and run from God. I mean, how do you run away from God in the first place? How do you run away from a God who is everywhere? You can't. And yet Jonah still tries. As foolish as it may be, Jonah hears God's call and tries to run the other way. Friends, the best comedy acts like a bit of a mirror. We laugh at what is ridiculous on the page or on the stage because we recognize that same ridiculousness within. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus warns us not to critique the speck in our neighbor's eye before we take care of the log in our own eyes. Here, the book of Jonah is showing us both the speck and the log because we have all been running. Whether we admit it or not, we have all done this. We have all tried to outrun God. Maybe not as bombastically as Jonah, but in quieter, more respectable and buttoned up ways. We have all taken turns being anti-heroes in God's story. Maybe it's the way you fill out your days, errands, TV, friendships, all good and beautiful things. But then you end each night depleted with no room left to even think about God. Maybe it's burying yourself in work so that you don't have to face what's happening at home. Maybe it's that hard conversation you keep on postponing, the change that you need to make or you know you need to make, but you just can't bring yourself to start. Maybe it's holding on to an old grudge because holding on to anger feels safer than risking forgiveness. What are you running from? What are you running from? And where is God in that running? Running doesn't always look like Jonah. It doesn't look like rebellion. Sometimes it looks ordinary. It looks smart. It looks like the responsible thing to do. But if the end result is that we keep God at arm's length, then we are running all the same. We run from discomfort because the familiar feels less scary. We run from generosity because holding on feels so much safer than letting go. We run from what's right because affability is so much easier than conflict. We run from people because vulnerability puts us at risk. We run from God because deep down we are afraid that God might actually change us. We run from God not because we're afraid God isn't real, but because we're afraid that God is real. We run from God because we do not need the disruption, thank you very much. We don't want to go to Nineveh. Who wants to go to Nineveh? Friends, Nineveh is not just a place. It's also a feeling. It's an action. Nineveh is a stand-in for all of those places that you do not want to go and all of those things that you do not want to do. Jonah may have a lot in common with a fairy tale, but the city of Nineveh is 100% real. It exists within historical records. It exists within Scripture. It exists outside of Scripture. And it exists within us. I have got my Nineveh. And the sad thing about my Nineveh is it really isn't even dramatic. It's not intense. My Nineveh is ridiculous, kind of like the book of Jonah. I'll tell you what my Nineveh is. My Nineveh is dancing. Yeah, dancing. I can't stand dancing. I'm bad at dancing. When people start dancing at a wedding, I become this anthropologist and I think, how interesting that human beings behave this way with music. So my son loves the Macarena and I don't. I never have liked the Macarena. And if you were to ask Pierre if his dad's a good dancer or a bad dancer, he will tell you without blinking, my daddy's a bad dancer. And he would be right. And so we at Westminster, we had VBS this past week, Vacation Bible School. And when I was about 20, I was a youth director at a church where I also volunteered at VBS. And the mornings at VBS there always began with singing and with dancing. And that year, I had the distinct pleasure of learning the VBS version of the Macarena. Same beat. Same rhythm, except as you're doing the hand motions, you are also putting on the armor of God. And then during the bridge, after that little jump and spin, the song goes, beat up the devil, beat up the devil, beat up the devil with the power of the Spirit. And as they sang that, the kids, they looked as if they were sparring with one another. And I was just sitting there in the back of the sanctuary thinking to myself, what sort of backwards theology is this. And so on top of being a bad dancer, and on top of loathing the Macarena, I was also 20 years old and beyond self-conscious. And so you can imagine how all of this went for me. On Monday, the kids were up front, and again, I just hung out in the back of the sanctuary. Let the kids dance. I'll stay out of it. Same thing happened on Tuesday. Same thing happened on Wednesday. And normally during VBS, as the week progresses, the kids get more into the program, not less. But this week, by Thursday, or rather by Wednesday, most of the young kids had stopped dancing. And the high school leaders had all stopped dancing too. These were the same high schoolers that I had been leading in youth group all year. End of day Wednesday, one of the church adults comes up to me, someone who had been a youth leader in the past. He was very gentle with me. He just sort of leaned over and said, "You know, Greg, people watch you more than you realize. And I wonder what would happen during the dancing if they saw you having fun." And that was it. That's all he said. He patted me on the shoulder and then he walked away. There was no great fish. There were no life-threatening storms. No one at VBS threw me overboard. But I heard the call. I heard the ridiculous call to beat up the devil with the power of the Spirit. And I got into it on Thursday. And then by Friday, all of the kids were back to dancing. The teenagers were dancing. And I was right there in the middle of it all, dancing too, laughing at the absurdity of the music, but having a great, great time. That was my VBS experience, age 20. And this is how I looked at VBS last year. It was before I shaved. No, it was a wig. I'm a little less self-conscious now. Friends, life is a lot more vibrant when you stop running away from God. And what you're looking at here is not just a picture. This is the grace of God. It is the grace of a God who sees that we are all bad prophets, and who uses us anyway to get ship crews praising and children up and dancing. When we run, God follows us. And when storms rage, God pursues us. And when we are tossed overboard, God swallows us and cradles us and nurtures us. And eventually, God spits us back out, covered in grace, so that we too may give it another shot, fish guts and all. Friends, may we all have the guts to press on. Amen.